Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Ten Commandments, the first chief part of the Catechism, we learn the will of our God for His children, the rules of His house while we remain here on this earth. In the Creed, we confess who our God is and what He has done and still does for us and for our salvation. In the third chief part of the Small Catechism, we learn how to pray to our God in the Lord's Prayer. And from what better place could we learn it than from the Son of God Himself? It seems that the Lord Jesus taught His disciples this prayer on at least two occasions, probably more. You heard the context of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel just a moment ago. In Luke's Gospel, where the Lord's Prayer is also recorded, the context is much simpler. One of Jesus' disciples came to Him with a request, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And Jesus proceeded to teach them the words of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew's Gospel, it's given in the context of the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is teaching His disciples, those great multitudes that followed Him up the mountain, where He begins by teaching His disciples two ways not to pray. Not like the hypocrites, who are more concerned about looking good before men as they pray in public than they are about approaching God with genuine faith and with sincere requests in their great neediness. No, don't pray like that, Jesus says. Not to be praised or honored among men. And not like the heathen, that is, the pagan Gentiles who repeat mantras or phrases over and over, lengthy prayers, because they think that their God will only grant their requests if they say the words often enough and let Him know exactly what their needs are. No, don't pray like that, Jesus says, as if you had to inform God of your needs and then coax Him to help with endless repetitions. Instead, He says, pray in this way: Our Father, the One who is in heaven. We call this the address or the invocation part of the Lord's Prayer. And right away, Jesus makes it clear who can pray in the first place. Only the children of the Father can pray, or at least pray successfully. God is the creator of all men, of all things, but He is not the true Father of all men, because all men are born in sin, born outside of the family of God, hostile to the true God, unable to fear Him, to love Him, or to trust in Him, and therefore unable to pray to Him, even as He is unwilling to listen to the prayers of those who are still His enemies. But to those who believe in the name of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, He has given the right to become the children of God. And when we come to the Father through Jesus, He wants us to know that our prayers are acceptable to Him, because we are acceptable to Him through our faith connection to Jesus, who is the most acceptable of all. He wants us to know that He claims us and loves us as His own children. And so by teaching us to pray, Our Father, Jesus is teaching us as beloved children of God to ask our beloved Father for certain things. Seven of them, in fact, expressed in the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The first petition, Father, may Your name be hallowed or sanctified or made holy. Your name, Father, is already holy, already set apart from every other name, but we ask in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also in two ways. First, help us treat your name as holy and sacred by making sure that your name is taught purely among us. Second, help us to treat your name as something holy and sacred by making sure that we, as your children who bear your name, lead holy lives according to your word. Our Father's name is blasphemed and profaned among many who call themselves Christians, among many who use his word and his name, but false teaching is blasphemy against God. False teaching about the name of God, who he is, what he has done, what he has taught, keeps people from knowing God rightly. And his name is also blasphemed and profaned through the openly wicked lives that some Christians live, which also sends the wrong message about who God is and what it means to be his children. So it's vital that we pray for our Father's help so that we may bring glory to his name, both by our teaching and by our living. Glory and not disgrace. The second petition, Father, may your kingdom come. It already comes where and when the Spirit of God wills. It would come whether we prayed for it or not. But here we ask, Father, that it may come to us also. Grant us your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts as individuals, to dwell among us as a church, so that by your grace we may believe your holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. Help us to submit to the kingship of the Lord Jesus. Keep us in his kingdom. Use us to spread his kingdom in the world. And may his kingdom, which is his holy church, prevail against the very gates of Hades, so that the devil's kingdom may finally be crushed to pieces as the kingdom of Christ fills the world. The third petition, Father, may your will be done here on earth among us, your children, just as it's done above in heaven by our cousins, the holy angels, whose every thought, whose every intention is to serve you and do your will, as you have revealed your will to us in the Holy Scriptures. And at the same time we pray, break and hinder every evil plan and every evil will, like the will of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. They would keep us from hallowing your name, Father. They would prevent your kingdom from coming among us through their lies and through their temptations. Hinder them and strengthen us, and keep us steadfast in your word and faith until the end. And to all our prayers and petitions, Father, when we ask for things that you haven't necessarily promised to give us, let it be understood that we ask not for our will, but always and only for your will to be done. The fourth petition, Father, we ask you again today for our daily bread. It's a simple request to give us what we need to sustain our earthly life, whether it's food or drink or clothing or shelter or the people we need in our lives so that we can flourish. Father, you know what we need better than we do. You know what we need even before we ask. So take our petition for daily bread as a thanksgiving, because we acknowledge that all that we have comes from you, and we trust in you to determine what we need and to give it to us each and every day. We ask only for what we need today, Father, trusting that tomorrow is in your capable hands. The fifth petition, Father, we know and confess to you that even though you have made us your children and have forgiven us our sins in holy baptism, we are not worthy of anything for which we ask, nor have we earned it, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. But as your dear Son has instructed us, we ask again today that you would forgive us our trespasses and sins, only on the basis of your grace and goodness. And since we know that you have commanded us to truly forgive from the heart those who trespass against us when they come to us in repentance, we will do it. We ask only that you would forgive us in the same way. The sixth petition. Father, lead us not into temptation. We know that you would never lead anyone into sin, but we ask in this petition that you would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us nor mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And although we are troubled by these things, we ask that you would lead us safely through all the temptations and make us victorious in the end. The seventh petition. Father, you know that we are surrounded by evil in the world. Some of it we see and feel. Much of it happens behind our backs and without our knowledge. There are so many threats to our bodies and souls, such powerful forces raging against us that we could not hope to survive on our own. And so we pray, deliver us from evil in this world, from every sort of evil, of body or soul, of property and honor. And finally, when our last hour comes, grant us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Some, but not all, Greek texts of Matthew 6 also include that beautiful doxology, that word of praise to conclude the Lord's Prayer, words which we are happy to include, even though they aren't included in the catechism itself. For yours, Father, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We know, dear Father in heaven, that these petitions are acceptable to you and are heard by you. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you have commanded us to pray in this way and have promised to hear us. And so we conclude our prayer today. Amen, amen, yes, yes, it shall be so. And we'll say the same thing again when we pray this prayer tomorrow. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.